بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 15th of March in the year 2024 and already is the sixth blessed night of the holy month of Ramadan the night on which Our beloved messenger mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Torah was revealed to Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, as recorded in Ahmad and Tabarani. And we moved on to, or we're beginning now the seventh week, the 43rd night that we're going through the illustrious life of the noble companion, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned that the fourth day's action was over and both forces were once again back on their original lines. So one incident remains to be narrated before we come to the end of this account of the fateful day of the lost eyes. During a pause in Sayyidina Shurahbil sector, i.e. the center right, radiyallahu, Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu suddenly appeared to be now deeply wounded. This surprised the men, for they had never seen their venerable leader so wounded. He then gave orders to his men to look for a red cap, which he had dropped whilst fighting on the battlefield. Ja'far ibn Abdullah ibn Haqm, rahmatullah alayhi, relates, when Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu lost his cap during the Battle of Yarmouk, he gave immediate orders for it to be found. When the people failed to find it, he now greatly concerned, again gave the command for them to search earnestly for it. This time, alhamdulillah, they managed to locate it. It happened to be an old cap. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu then explained, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Umrah and had his hair shaved, people raced around him, to acquire some of it. I managed to beat them to the priceless forelocks and then kept it in this cap. Hence, whenever I participate in battle with these sacred hairs, I am always granted victory. So let's look at this. So this is recorded in Tabarani in his Kabir, number 3804, Abu Ya'la in his Musnad, number 7183, or 13-138, Hakim in his Mustadrak, volume 3, page 299, stated Sahih, Abu Nu'aym in his Dala'il Nubu'ah, page 159, Ibn Asakir in his Tariq Dimishq, 16-247, Al-Isaba, 2-254, Fath al-Bari, 7-101, Hafiz Zahabi in his Siyar, 1-374, 16-130 stated Sahih. Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 9, page 349, stated Sahih. Al-Bidayah in the chapter on those who passed away in the year 21 AH. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 668-669 of the New English Translation. So in this flawless report, Khalid's blessed cup was lost. So why was he so concerned on locating this cap, finding it? Because it had the sacred forelocks of Rasulullah's hair. So the forelock is the front part of the hair. And he goes, I beat the companions to these forelocks and I kept them in this cap. And look what he said. Whenever I participate in battle with these sacred hairs on me, I am always granted victory. So Khalid was saying that I am using this as the barak to get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I was thinking that by losing these sacred hairs, this may be a bad sign, a bad omen. But alhamdulillah, it was relocated. In a slightly different report, the sword of Allah radiyallahu anhu said, I preceded them to a forelock and I took it. I then placed it in a qalansuwa, headgear similar to a turban at its front. I thus thereafter did not direct myself in any direction without getting an opening by it. from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. This is in Abu Ya'la in his Musnad, number 8148 or 6-529, Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 5299 or 3-339, Sahih. Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid, 9-352, stated Sahih. So here, a few additions are made. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu said that he placed it in some sort of headgear, like a turban, and he was placed in there at the front. And he goes, I always got an opening with it. Meaning Allah Ta'ala always inspired me by the blessings of the sacred head of the Prophet to find the right course of action during battle. In another report, he radiyallahu anhu said, whenever I confront an enemy with this cap upon my head, I am always granted victory. SubhanAllah. This is in Abu Nu'im, Qanzul Umal, volume 7, page 31. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 669 of the New English Translation. So Khalid radiyallahu anhu, he put his unique, unbeaten record on the battlefield humbly at the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, it's because of this cap that I am always granted victory. As mentioned, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had earnestly requested for this priceless treasure. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, he relates, Khalid radiyallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give it to none but me. May my father and my mother be your ransom. When Rasulullah gave it to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he pressed it reverently against his eyes and he kissed it. SubhanAllah. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Isabah, Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Maghazi, page 1108. So he earnestly beseeched Rasulullah for it. And he was saying, may my mother and father be ransomed for you. Please give it to me, Ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet gave it to him. And how much love did he show it? He kissed it and he placed it on his eyes, the hairs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, these reports will sound very strange to many uninformed Muslims. In fact, they might even go as far as to say that this is a type of shirk. So the response to that is, the companions are either your teachers and you are their students, or you become the teachers of the companions. So if you become the teacher of the companions, then do what you want. But Khalid bin Walid, and what's interesting, you know, you would expect the hairs to be used for shafa and other things, which I'm going to mention briefly. Would you mention that it can be used on the battlefield? And yet Khalid used it on the battlefield, radiyallahu. So let's look very briefly at some other reports proving this. In Sahih Bukhari, number 5896, in the chapter on clothing, Mishkat number 4568 in the chapter on cure of diseases. Uthman ibn Abdullah ibn Muhab rahmatullah alayhi, he said, my family sent me to Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyida Salama radiyallahu anhuma, with a cup of water. Sayyida Salama radiyallahu anhuma thereupon brought out a silver bottle which contained some of the hairs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it used to be that if anyone came under the effects of the evil eye or ill health in general, then they used to send her a cup of water through which she would pass this hair for drinking. We would look into the silver bottle. Indeed, I saw some reddish hair. Subhanallah. So this is how they would take the blessings. So in this flawless report in Sahih Bukhari, they would take a container of water to the mother of the believers and she would have the blessed hairs of Rasulullah in a silver bottle and she would then place those sacred hairs into the container of water and they would drink it. And what was it used for? It mentions explicitly the evil eye or ill health. Now why is that interesting? The evil eye is a spiritual ailment. So it's a cure for spiritual ailments and also ill health in general. But note the hair was dipped and placed back in that silver container. Sheikh Nawab Qutbuddin Khan Dehlawi, rahmatullah alayh, In his Mazaid-e-Haq, number 4568, he elucidated. Hafiz Tibi, rahmatullah alayh, mentioned that the silver was used in order to respect the blessed hair, just like the silk curtain drapes the holy Kaaba. Perhaps the hair were red naturally, or were brownish that seemed to be red, or they were dyed with henna. They could also have been placed in perfume, which changed their color, and they thus look reddish. So one of the Hanafi sheikhs who wrote a commentary on Mishkat Mazari-i-Haq, he said, why was it in a silver container? This was to respect the sacred hair. Anything from the Prophet used to be venerated. And he goes, just like you put curtains on the Kaaba. Then he said, why was it red? The Prophet's hair was black. He goes, one explanation is that it could have been dyed with henna, indicating the Prophet also dyed his hair. Or it was due to the perfume within the silver container. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, he commented, rahmatullah alayh, in Fath al-Bari 10-353, they used to call the silver bottle in which the hair of Rasulullah was kept, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, juljul. And that bottle was in the chamber of Sayyidah Salama, radiallahu anhu. So the name of that bottle, that silver bottle which contained the sacred hairs, was called juljul. And it was in the chamber of Salama, radiallahu anhu. Hafiz Badr al-Din al-Aini, he commented in Umdatul Qari 18-79. Sayyidah Salama radiallahu anhuma had some of the hairs of Rasulullah in a silver bottle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When some people fell ill, they would thereupon go and obtain blessings from these hairs, and they would be healed by means of these blessings. If a person were struck by the evil eye or any sickness, he would send his wife to Sayyidah Salama radiallahu anhuma with a water pail, and she would pass the hair through that water and then drink the water and he would be healed. After which they would return the blessed hair to Juljul. So note again, showing the procedure how the hair was used to seek the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Shafa. The blessed Salaf, rahimahumallah, they followed suit. For instance, Hafiz Zahrabi mentions in his seer, Imam Ahmad, rahmatullah alayh, whilst recounting the time of his trial in prison, where he was jailed and whipped, mentioned he had averted lacerations from his shirt pocket as there was a pouch containing some of the hairs of Rasulullah within it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam Ahmad was in prison for over 2 years and he was being tortured systematically, but he goes, one place I never had any, even though I know I was whipped there, and that was my shirt pocket. He goes, there was no signs of whipping, and he goes, the reason was because I had Rasulullah's hair in that spot. So even though the whip was struck there, it didn't leave anything on him. Note the divine protection of the one possessing the sacred hair of Rasulullah. It is related that Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anh, he had willed that a sacred hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was in his possession, be placed under his tongue before he was begged. Referred to Al-Isaba 1-72. So Sayyidina Anas lived over 100 years and he willed that one of the blessed hairs be placed under his tongue when he is buried of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he relates radiallahu anhu, when the time of Muawiyah's death approached, radiallahu anhu, he said, I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Mount Safa. I asked for his comb and I took his blessed strands of hair which were on it. Thus when I die, those strands must be placed on my mouth and on my nose. Recorded by Hafiz Zahabi rahmatullah alayhi in his seer, volume 3, page 158. So Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan, he willed that. And he goes, he obtained it because I got it from the comb of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he goes, place it on my mouth and on my nose when you lay me in the grave. With regards to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he had instructed his family members, I want you to place that cloak in my burial shroud and also the blessed hair and nail on my eyes, face, and places of prostration. Thereafter put me into the custody of the most merciful of those who show mercy. SubhanAllah. This is recorded in Al-Bidayah 8-141, Al-Isaba 3-414, Al-Istiyab 3-414. So he's got the cloak of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He goes, place that in my burial shroud. And he goes, the hair and the nails of Rasulullah. He got some of the blessed nails. He goes, place it on my eyes, my face, and my places of prostration. And then leave me with my Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another report, Sayyidina Muawiyah said, radiyallahu, I used to help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform wudu. In gratitude, he removed his kurta. He made me wear it. I have indeed preserved it. I also collected his clipped nails and also stored them. Hence, when I die, I must be made to wear the kurta and the clipped nails must be placed on my eyes. I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy upon me by virtue of these sacred items. Recorded by Hafiz Zahabi rahmatullah alayhi in his Siyar, volume 3, page 160. So he explained how he got the kurta, because I was always helping the Prophet to perform wudu. He gave me his kurta. He goes, I've collected it, his blessed nails. He goes, then put it on me when I die. And in another report, it is related. When his final moments came, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave me a garment. I have protected it and kept it. One day Rasulullah was clipping his nails. I also kept it protected in a glass. Hence, when you shroud me, make me wear the garment that Rasulullah gave me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and grind the nail and dust it into my eyes and my mouth. Indeed, it would not be strange in the least if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thus has mercy upon me through its blessings. Recorded by Hafiz ibn al-Atir in his Al-Qamil, volume 4, page 324, Tariqi Millat, page 492 of the English translation. So now something interesting is mentioned here. The garment, he kept the nails in a glass. So now Rasulullah passed away 11 AH, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, he passed away 60 AH. So he kept the nails and the garment for over half a century. So you got to keep that in mind. You know, you didn't just keep it for a week, a month, a year, 50 years. If somebody goes, how are you keeping somebody's nails for 50 years? He kept it in a glass container. And then it was interesting. He goes, grind the nail and dust it into my eyes and my mouth. So that's interesting. So as the Muawiyah didn't just say, just put the nails on my eyes and mouth. He goes, grind it respectfully. And the powder, put it onto my eyes and in my mouth. And he goes, it won't be strange in the least if Allah Ta'ala has mercy upon me. And one final report, Muhammad ibn Sirin, what did he say? Rahmatullah alayhi. A hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my possession is more precious to me than silver and gold and everything that is on the earth and everything that is inside it. SubhanAllah. This is in Sahih Bukhari, Ahmad in his Musnad, Bayhaqi in his Sunan al-Kubra. So we don't really appreciate, we know that it's priceless, we know it's precious. But the Tabi'een, look what he said, Anas' student. He goes, one hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the silver and gold, everything on the earth, everything inside it is not equal to that one hair to me. Now why did he say that? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatullahi alayhi, because they understand how precious these blessings are from Rasulullah's blessed body. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in summary, the priceless hair of our beloved messenger was used for the following divine blessings. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one, cure from the evil eye. Number two, cure from innumerous ailments. Number three, victory against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, protection from physical harm or even torture. Now look how strange that sounds. And the reason it sounds strange is because this is not often mentioned. So why is Allah ta'ala putting so much blessings because he's the greatest of creation? And if somebody says to you, and in normal speech, people say this, it's not even worth the hair on my head. That's a figure of speech. Why are they talking like that? Because the hair is the most, you know, insignificant thing you can think of. It's not worth the hair on my head. Can you use that for Rasulullah? Look how interesting. What's absolutely worthless to you now becomes more precious than all the silver and gold, everything in this world, all that it contains. And who were using it as if they needed to use it? The companions, right? If you're going to think, look, the ones who didn't need to use the barak, God forbid, hypothetically, it'd be the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you get this impression that that's all they did. Khalid bin Walid, imagine, you could, you know, ask him respectfully, why were you unbeaten on the battlefield? Which one would say, well, you already know the answer. Because of the forelock of Rasulullah. If you say that to somebody, what are you talking about? He himself said that. I get victory to the head of Rasulullah. In Yarmouk, he lost it. And he was wounded now. He goes, this may be a sign that we're going to be defeated. But Alhamdulillah, he was found again. And notice, the fourth day this was happening. Right? You know, it's not like, you know, like nice and calm. You know, it's battle stations, red alert everywhere. And it's like he's not bothered. He goes, find the cup. Not bothered about the Romans. Find the cup. And they couldn't find it the first time. But then the second time, Alhamdulillah. And then he explained. And then you get Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Muawiyah. You get Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidah Umm Salama. And all of this is tabarruk. So this is a clear sign that you can use Rasulullah, anything from his blessed being, as a means of getting the blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The eternal peace and blessings be upon our beloved messenger always and forever. Ameen. And also, just to add this, tabarrak is also mentioned in the Quran. So obviously, if a person has a problem with the authentic hadith, he's ill. But just to put that person at some ease who's really ill, it's in the Quran. So where is tabarrak mentioned in the Quran? Can any of you think of any examples?
The shirt of Ibrahim
was given to Yusuf. Mashallah. Right, so the shirt of Yusuf. And the Quran explicitly says that Yusuf, he said, take my shirt, cast it over my father's face, his eyesight will be restored. Why didn't he just make dua? Why is he saying, take my shirt? So there's the barak. Can you think of another example of the tabarruk in the Quran?
When the Prophet Zakaria went to the chamber of Maryam to make her...
Okay, that's more to do with going to a sanctified place. The tabarruk is to seek blessings from something tangible. That's going to like a maqam, which is also another great way to get your needs fulfilled. But the tabarruk, there's another tabarruk clearly mentioned in the Quran.
The Ark of the Covenant.
The Ark of the Covenant. Right? In Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the Ark of the Covenant and the Bani Israel would take that with them wherever, and Allah ta'ala would give them victory. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? The staffs of Musa and Harun, alayhi salatu wasalam, the sandals, some of the manna and salwa, which were given miraculously when they were traveling in the desert, and also there was a zikr. And what's that zikr? MashaAllah. So there's a zikr inside. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there's a zikr, la ilaha illallahu alimun kareem. So that's one of the treasures in the ark. That zikr can be used to get your need fulfilled. That hadith is in Al-Bidayah. So no, the Quran is mentioning it. The sunnah is mentioned. And one other thing, sorry, very quickly. Can you do tabarruk from anything from the non-prophets? So the prophets, there's no doubt at all. You can do tabarruk from the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. Can you do it, for instance, from the sahaba, the salaf, the awliya ikram? Can you do tabarruk from those blessed individuals?
Yes.
And where's the proof?
Imam Shafi'i.
Yes.
Imam Ahmad. Yes, Imam Ahmad's quote.
MashaAllah. Yes, Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullah. He asked Imam Ahmad what he was wearing his shirt to seek blessings when he was being tortured. So this is from the Salaf. But there's something direct from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Juraj radiallahu, remember when he was accused and the baby spoke in his defense? He goes, "You're not my father, he's my father." And then the king goes, "Forgive me, Juraj, this, that, and the other." But in the hadith, it then mentions this. The people started touching him, rubbing him for blessings. Juraj. So who is actually telling you that? Rasulullah. So why would Rasulullah mention that? Why did he say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were touching him to seek blessings, Juraj. So this is tabarruk. Juraj certainly wasn't a prophet. It's possible he wasn't even a companion of a prophet, but he was a saintly soul. Right? And also the hadith mentions in Darimi that there's angels that are doing tawaf around the grave of Rasulullah, 70,000 every day and night, and they swap shifts. And they rub their wings against, they touch their wings against the blessed grave. Why did Ka'ab al-Akhbar say that, rahmatullah alayhi? Why are the angels touching the grave of the Prophet? Tabarruk, even the angels, what do they do tabarruk for? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, this is part of our deen. This is not something which is alien to our deen. And if anybody denies it, he's in a very dangerous condition, to say the least, but he's certainly greatly deprived. And also look how humble it is. You know, you don't rely upon your deeds, you rely upon the great blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Though your deeds can be used as a means to ask Allah ta'ala for His help. So all I mentioned today was the beautiful incident where Khalid bin Walid lost the blessed cap, which he treasured more than anything. And it was like immediate standby now, you must find the cup. And when it was found, he explained why he was so keen upon finding it. And then I mentioned some of the reports with regards to how the sacred hair of Rasulullah was used, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another very interesting thing about the sacred hair of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that it grows. So why does the hair of Rasulullah grow and split? The scholars say because the prophets are alive. When a person dies, it grows for a short period, the doctors say, but then it stops because the person dies. If it continues growing, why does it continue to grow? That's a sign that they're alive. And the hair splits into two, the blessings increase by the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So note again these amazing things. And the other thing is, don't get these whispers. People say, how do we know this is the hair of the Prophet? Maybe this is not something true. Maybe this is a money-making scheme. And the response is, don't worry yourself about that. Your worry is to respect anything which is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even, God forbid, if it's a fake, you won't be questioned about it. You were showing your love and veneration, and Allah will surely appreciate that. Right? So don't start investigating and all these things. If somebody goes, there's a hair of the Prophet in a masjid, go to it. You know, mashallah, you know, see the blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanallah bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, subhanallah rabbil rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa asbil haqq, wa asbil salat.